In this episode of Cubs Out Loud, the Cubs celebrate the end of summer with another summer hit show. The guys humbly present to you our wild thoughts and some unforgettable hits. Are the guys believers in these songs and providing congratulations, or will they tell them to hit the back road? Find out what they like as COL 432 starts now. September 17th, 2017, I'm Jeff.
Who's your bear? That's right, I am your bear.
I'm Damon.
I'm Chester.
This room is a pigsty, and you're a dirty pig boy.
And that makes me Gary.
Don't hurt nobody with your bad self.
Welcome to Cubs Out Loud, the Bear Podcast of Indeterminate Length, episode number 432. And it's that time of year again, a little later than normal, I think. Or do we do it normally around this time, or is it a little earlier, I think?
I think it's closer to Labor Day.
Okay. We're almost there. We're doing our summer hits, but of course we have to do our normal stuff as well. So let's... Where is it? There we go.
Need a towel?
Big 2 weeks.
Two weeks.
I've been watching Shield of Tomorrow. I think I just recently picked that for something, which is the Star Trek RPG show on Geek and Sundry, and it's been making me want to watch a show which involves the same type of ship that they have, which is an Intrepid class starship, which is the same as Voyager. So I'm starting to rewatch Voyager and just playing that. So
one of my favorite
Captain Janeway and Chakotay.
Yep, one of my favorite seasons of the of Star Trek
series. You mean?
Yes, series. Yeah, season series. Yeah, you know what I mean. My favorite series, and yeah, it's just we watch it on BBC America here at the house, because for some reason they show.
Wait a minute, hold on, back up.
Yes.
You're watching Star Trek Voyager on BBC
instead America. Of yeah, I don't have Netflix. I think I've made that clear.
So BBC is playing Star Trek Voyager?
BBC America is playing Star Trek Voyager every. I mean, almost pretty much every week. They have they show it all day, basically. So,
I mean, I remember what day it is. Doctor Who, but
it's what they do. I don't know. I don't program BBC America. I just benefit from watching Voyager as they play it often. They play all the Star Treks, actually. So maybe Star Trek has a huge following in Great Britain? I don't know.
Maybe. Damon, what's been going on with you?
So this Thursday, I had the opportunity to go see Miss Ginger Minj at the cabaret. She was here as part of the Hard Candy tour. They do a lot of the RuPaul Drag Race girls. They have them come through towns, and this time was Ginger Minj, so I got to meet her. And if you saw my Facebook, I posted pictures with me and Drew went. Drew came down and stayed with me Thursday, and then he's actually on his way home right now. after spending the weekend at Jeff and Ronnie's and going to Oktoberfest and all that stuff, which was I just don't do. But I had a lot of fun, and I got her to sign a poster. I don't know if you can read it. Oh, maybe. Yep. So it says, "Cubs Out Loud, you flood my basement," and it's Ginger Minj.
Aww.
So yeah, she's super fucking nice, and this is her first time in Cincinnati, and she loved the audience, and she was very personable and likable, and she just had so much. She had so much fun, which in turn allowed the audience to have fun with her. And I even got pictures with her after the show. She was down on the street, kind of relaxing with some of the people and smoking and what have you. And it was really nice. You know, people congratulated her on her her wedding, because she recently got married in at DragCon. Yeah, it was just a lot of. It was really awesome to see her. The girls, also the local girls, did a really amazing show. Yeah, it was a great time, a great show, and I'm glad Drew came down. We were able to go to it and experience it. Yay!
Tito. Chester.
Chester.
Work's been going really well. My supervisory team has noticed that it's been going really well for me. They've noticed so much that a training position has been opened up at work, and one of them pulled me aside and they're like, "Look, we have a policy that you can't transfer position for 6 months. But I want you to apply for it anyway." So that was nice. Life itself has not been going great. I'm having a lot of mental health issues going on. Just not feeling the best.
Aww.
So yesterday I did a self-care day, and it was all about me, and I did stuff for me. I went to the barber and got my hair cut and got a facial. What else did I do? Played Pokemon.
Sweet.
I went to the gym. I finally got set up with one. I even went to the extent of getting a personal trainer for a month.
Mm-hmm.
Help me, but I'm getting into the rhythm of everything, and so that was good. And then last night I wanted to take Evan out for dinner, so we went to Hollywood Casino here in Columbus and had a really nice steak dinner, and then we went onto the gaming floor and gambled for a bit, and it was a fun time. I needed it. It was like a way for me to like reset myself and realize that I've still got other good things to do to keep my mind and body active and busy without just coming back and forth to work every cool. day and that be it.
Yeah. So. That's the thing that you kind of have to find, is that balance of like going to work and coming home and going to work and coming home and going to work and coming home, because it just kind of gets very, it's easy to get repetitive and consistent and dull. And when you're used to having a lot of other things around you to kind of do stuff, it's harder to now kind of find that, you know, rhythm when you're now, because you've just moved to a new city and all that stuff. So yeah, I've been, when I moved over here a couple years ago, I got into a bit of a rut, because I was literally, because we were house poor, because we just bought the house and we spent a whole lot of money getting into the house. So I didn't really do anything much except going to work, coming home, maybe doing a few things here and there, but nothing really majorly big. This will be the first year in a while. Like the show to Ginger was a good one. but I haven't really been able to do that because I've been so, like, low on funds and low on opportunities.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Gary?
Well, Gary scarfs down food.
I totally raided the pantry at my host's home, which was inappropriate. And I'm going to apologize in advance and maybe leave him a little note, like a fiver. I don't know. So, as I just realized, I'm like, I'm starving. Oh, that's right. I haven't eaten in, like, you know, 12 hours or whatever. Yeah, so work is work. Work is busy for me. My possible travel is coming up very soon. I'm kind of actually really excited about this new project. I actually described that if the travel comes about and I get to meet this team, I am not making a promise that I will wear a superhero cape, but I will do the best I can to help them. So
nice.
And then yesterday,
no capes.
I know. So Drew plays the clip of Edna from the Invincibles. And it was funny because he was actually disappointed because at first I think he wanted to play the clip with the Madonna insert, if y'all have seen that. So Edna's like running through all the superheroes that have the problems with the capes, and then someone spliced in and did a voiceover. It's not really Brad who does Edna's voice, but and then what was it, like, Madonna 2015 Brit Awards, like, like shows the fall into it. But anyways, so yeah. Speaking of which, it wasn't on the cam, but like if you were listening before we went live, Drew just actually left it at home. So hey, Drew. I'll get to that in a moment. So work is work. It's kind of busy. Drench for 14 started planning. We had our first meeting, and then I did a live video to Facebook this week, which was, despite us doing this thing, that was like nerve wracking for me. Do the live, because in my mind, I was like, oh, we'll do a news update type thing and people will watch and they'll ask questions and we'll answer and stuff. And then I was done in like 5 minutes. Like, one, I talk kind of fast, which I know I do, but like I didn't want to discuss a long list of things. So I only had a couple. And then I suddenly realized, boom, like you're through the list. Now what are you going to do? Smart ass. Whoops. So, yeah, no, but it was good. And I have to edit the video and then post it to YouTube so people that are not on Facebook can see the info video. But I think that's kind of the route that we're going to go. So I did that and then made a decision in the 10th, 11th hour to come back down to Southern Ohio. Last night was Pup Tibber / Brady's title step aside, step down. I have a question about this. I'm going to go sideways for a moment. I always called it a step down. That's what I've always heard until I think Aaron's at Gem City Bear. And then for the first time ever, I heard someone say step aside. And I was like,
so I'll give a kind of the quick definition. In times past, the belief was that the current title holder steps down, meaning they fade into they fade into the nether, like they don't really do anything anymore after their year is up. Now, a lot of titles are saying just because your year is done doesn't mean you're done. So you kind of step aside and maybe you do your own thing or you do other things, but you're still kind of involved with the title. So you're stepping aside to let the current winner step up, and then you're still kind of there. Maybe you're advising. Maybe you're helping out when you can.
Wait, that's just the stupidest thing in all the world.
Well, it has a lot to do with...
Here's why I think that is when I hear step down is because, you know, like, take, for example, an Olympics gold medal ceremony. You have first place is at that top pedestal, and then you have the steps down for second and third, right? So whoever wins is at the top. They're on the pedestal for the year. So when they step down, they step off the pedestal so that the new winner can go on to it. Does that mean that they are supposed to fade from existence? No, not necessarily. I mean, that's the person's own choice. But that's why it was stepped down, is because because when you win one of these titles, you're put on a pedestal for the time that you hold it. And then once you're done, you step down from the pedestal. So it's really more like that. So I think that's the dumbest thing to think, oh, it just means that they step down and fade away to existence. No, they just step off the pedestal. They're still there.
Yeah. But for some people, that's what ultimately has been the case, has been that people who were former title holders either feel they don't get included in things and they don't do anything. So that's one of the reasons why people fade away, is that they're no longer involved. So, well, whatever, I'm going to, so they don't get asked to do things. They don't, whatever.
So they're so it's more of trying to make everybody else, all those people, to feel good by, you're not stepping a little better down for the pedestal. You're just moving aside. So really, yeah, the pedestal is just getting longer. It's just whoever's on the end. You move to the next spot to your left or to your right. Take a step to the left. Anyways, I still think that's just
right. I mean, people need to everybody
think these things through. Really,
I think they do think them through. I think it's a self-ascribed thing, whether you choose to say you stepped down or you stepped aside. I just had never heard of it before. I always heard it called a step down, because I agreed with what you're saying, Jeff, is like, visually, it's like you were kind of on a pedestal. Now you're no longer on the pedestal. It's not you share the pedestal with the predecessors. But notably, the person that actually kind of said this comes from a different grouping, where there is constant recognition of all the people that have come before. So when I think about that, I'm like, oh, well, this makes sense. Title holding in leather, in bear, in I think pup, like kink, all of these kind of arenas don't necessarily have a legacy piece in which when the person goes up there, like the contestants go up there, you call up every single person that's ever had this title before that happens to be present, or read off an entire list of things. Other arenas they do, for example, the Imperial Court always gives recognition to not only the current court, but the previous courts and any other court that happens to be present. And I think that's a little bit more in pageantry. So it makes sense to me the more I think about it. I'm like, oh, well, yeah, like if they're there, then you would actually say something. So, for instance, the competition that I went to last night for the contest that Brady was no longer going to be the current year, there was some recognition of who was previous title holders. And I kind of found that interesting to see the balance of who was a Kentucky Bourbon Bear title holder versus a North American Bear title holder, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Anyways.
And I don't feel like just because somebody steps down, they're not losing their title or anything. They still have the title, but it's for the previous year. They are the legacy of it.
Yeah.
So somebody who's constantly saying they were so-and-so of 2015 – that's true. That's the case. There's the
right.
Title is still there. So really the title changes year to year. But for who's in the spotlight, who's on that pedestal, that's why I think step down is just fine. But the way that they're justifying it just sounds stupid to me. But
well, I was just giving my personal – I was just giving my interpretation of it. I don't know if that's exactly what they're doing now. So we'll see. Anyway, Gary, move on.
Yeah. So just basically I thought all week about maybe coming down, and then I did actually reach out to both of you and was like, hey, were you thinking about doing this? Like, what were you going to do or whatever? So, and then I completely forgot that Drew was already going to be down here in the area. So I was like, are you staying through the weekend? He's like, maybe. Like, I was thinking about going back up home, and I was like, oh. He's like, why? I was like, I was going to kind of like make a surprise trip over to Lexington, if you want to come along. So that's what we did last night. Nice. It was good. It was fun. I will say this. I applauded this effort last night. I gave the feedback. The contest was done in basically an hour and a half.
Nice.
So I said,
how many contestants?
Three.
Okay.
Three contestants, one performer. The performer did two numbers, like one and then one again in between the rounds. It was pretty efficient. Like, bing, bang, boom. It was started almost on time at 10 o'clock, and I think it was done at about 11:35. or nice. Something like that. Like, I just happened to look at my watch and I was like, holy shit, like, we're done? It's not even midnight. What do we do? Like, I'm used to going to all these things, like, especially drag pageants or whatever, getting to show up and it's like, oh my God, like, you know, and there, it's usually at a dance club. So then the crowd gets restless because they want to dance and they can't because, you know,
yeah,
they won't, like, crown or anybody. So,
yeah.
No, it was pretty cool. And I'm proud of the fact eventually when Brady watches this that I surprised him. So he had no idea that I was there. I kind of like laid low. So I like didn't go on social media. I didn't say anything. And then I didn't think of it. I didn't say anything to Drew, but he tagged me that we arrived at the bar. He's like, woo, quick like side trip, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, he might see it. But then again, he might not. And I knew he didn't know I was there because then when Amanda Berry was performing, I go up to tip her. And I come walking straight up towards the stage, and he's actually up there. She had requested he stayed up there when she performed for her first number. And I see him just look at me, and I was like, so, yeah.
Surprise, bitch.
Yeah. So, and then he gave me a nice shout out later on. He recognized that I was there from Drench Fur. So, no, it was cool. I got to see Chess. I got to see a whole bunch of people and meet other folks. I did not know when I met Jed Ryan, somehow I missed this and part of his bio announcement that he's the very first North American bear, I think in 2012. He was there from New York City. So yeah, no, it was pretty cool. So it's been pretty fruitful and I'm still here. And as soon as we're done, then I got to pack all my shit up and go home to speak.
Yay.
Cool. Okay. So I need somebody to ask a question.
Yeah. Jeffrey,
mm-hmm.
What did you do?
What did you do?
It's really what Sonnet did.
You are not blaming the dog.
I am blaming her because it's not my fault. Although it kind of was because I was wearing sandals. So oh. This past week, I don't remember what day it was, but I'm going to take Sonnet for a walk, and I'm wearing my sandals, and put her leash on her. I open the door, and like typical Sonnet, she steps on my foot. But this time, she steps right on my, like, second toe, like the one right next to the big toe on my left foot.
Oh,
and,
no.
Maybe my nails were a little bit too long or something, but needless to say, it hurt a lot more than it normally hurts when Sonnet steps on my feet. Uh-oh. And so we just walked down the path a little bit, and I look down, and there's blood all around the nail of my foot. So I'm like, okay, quick short walk. We're going to go back in. I'm going to take care of this before I have to work.
And oh, God.
So, fortunately, it really wasn't too bad. No nail actually came off or anything. Okay. But I did kind of clip the nail a little bit just to kind of, like, make sure any blood can get out. And
yeah.
And I put a bandage around it. And thank God my mom had sent me a first aid kit. Otherwise, I wouldn't
get
any bandages.
Oh, God.
And... I was limping for about a day there, but when I took off the bandage the next day, right before I took a shower, actually wasn't too bad. It still looked kind of grody. Made sure it was clean and everything, so.
Ah. Well, good. Well, sorry it happened that your pup stepped on your toe. Yeah.
I'm blaming Sonic. Yeah. But, you know, if I was wearing, like, regular shoes, it probably wouldn't have been a problem, but... I totally forgot about that, so that's why I slipped it into that. So.
Your poor toe.
And time for this.
Now, whoever thought we'd be doing commercials?
I know I sure as heck didn't.
Being that we're a smaller scale podcast, we don't have advertisers knocking down our door to give us money, and that's okay.
Which is why we want to take a moment and tell you about two really great ways you can support Cubs Out Loud.
Over the past 9 years, COL has produced hundreds of audio episodes, and now we have matching video episodes for you to enjoy.
This year, we introduced the new COL logo and launched our new merch store over at Zazzle.com/Cubs Out Loud.
Or you can also use the COL merchandise link on our podcast website to pull up the online store.
Here you can take a look at through a range of
products including t-shirts, hats, poker chips, underwear, backpacks, and various other things with the COL logo on them.
And keep an eye out for new things to be added based on your interests and requests.
We typically can be found showing these great items off in the video stream of our shows.
Also, to help with our new format, we're doing YouTube video shows that help create the audio version. We have a GoFundMe campaign underway at gofundme.com/COLstream.
This campaign allows us to afford upgrading the PC that Jeff uses to produce our shows. Plus, a better computer means better quality streams.
And thanks in advance for not only listening to Cubs Out Loud, but helping support the podcasts too.
Anybody wearing anything today?
I think Gary is wearing...
Sorry. I'm highly amused by the, is anybody wearing anything today?
What are you wearing?
Yeah, some of us are wearing some clothes.
Well, we're all hopefully wearing clothes.
Well, some of us are pantsless, so there's that.
I mean, we're not typically standing up for the show. Yeah, well, do you have the hat on, Gary?
No, this is the gray distressed hat that I'm kind of a fan of. I like this. And then I brought, because it was a road trip and I didn't know where I was going to be when I was recording, I brought the white shirt, the Woo-hoo! Comfy white, lightweight one, you know. It's very slimming. No, not really. Maybe if I got it in black, it would be slimming, but no, this is the one that I'm probably...
Your favorite one?
I've got three favorites, honestly. This, the gray... kind of jersey with the white rings or stripes on the sleeves, and then the original brown sweatshirt. It's I don't know, it's super comfy. I like it.
You can get your own comfy stuff over at Dudley.
Or you can get you know, poker chips, or a shower curtain, or tennis shoes,
or a bandana.
Our playing cards.
Because what everybody wants to do is flag Cubs Out Loud.
Yeah.
I like listening to Bear.
Are you a CL top? Or a CL
Well, that makes us all tops, right? Because we give COL, and then the audience would all be bottoms because they take it.
Wow.
Am I off on my rationale?
I mean...
No.
Yeah, and we have occasional switches, such as, like, chess and other... Even Tibbers is a switch, because he's been on. And,
nice.
So we got I see what's right with this. So they've been guests. Mm-hmm.
And they've also listened.
Right, and then they also...
I'm just going with your analogy here.
No, I get it. Makes sense.
Right. Let's go into this. Gary, what do we got?
Back to the document, sorry. In-person feedback. I met James last night in Lexington. It was kind of funny because he was wearing the Kilted Bros Bear Pride kilt. If y'all haven't seen, you should check it out. It's pretty cool. It's based on the Bear Pride flag. And he was standing behind Drew and I for the contest. And he was very supportive and that kind of stuff. And I said at one point, I was like, this guy seems familiar to me, but I don't know why. And... And then later, towards the end of the night, we were saying goodbye, and I got introduced to him by, I think Aaron was there, HUD, and that's when something happened, I don't know, and maybe Aaron said it to James, or said it to somebody else. I got introduced as Gary from the podcast, which is funny, because a couple people get introduced that way, and they just get a blank look on their face, and I'm like, no, it's okay, like, you're not necessarily supposed to know about the podcast, like, because my feeling on it is we're not that famous, so I don't want people to be like, huh, like I'm missing out on something.
We're very humble.
That podcast.
Yeah. So. Podcast. Yeah. So I was amused by this, and anyways, he had turned away for a second, and all of a sudden he turns around, and he goes, "Wait, you're Gare Bear?"
Nice.
I was like, Yeah, I'm one of many in the nation. Like,
wow.
And he's like, I kept trying to figure out where I knew your voice from. So I was highly amused by this. So apparently he's more of an audio podcast listener. So Sweet. It was nice to meet him last night. I was actually like highly amused by it. Not that it's like hysterically funny. It was more the irony of like, oh, here I am in a bar and, you know, in a city that, you know, just amongst people, and someone sort of recognizes my voice, but doesn't quite know where. So, yeah. So it was good to meet him. So that's a little shout out to him. And then on Facebook, we had comments and posts. COL427, LTAK flagging. Chess
flogging.
Went back.
Flogging.
Oh, whatever.
We didn't do one about flagging. Or have we done one without flagging yet?
No, I don't think we have.
Okay. Future topic, write that down.
So for someone who is trying to quickly get through this, anyways, flogging. Chess said, a pal said we look like a K-pop group, as in like Korean pop music, and then he put a link to a YouTube video. I think what they're inferring is the layout when they watch the YouTube video of us made them think of that, but because otherwise I really don't see the resemblance, but that's just me. Then COL 430 labor gaze, Henry, I'm going to say Mazade, commented, sometimes a man in a suit will turn my head, especially if his pants are real tight and you can see an outline of his goods. Working in home improvement, I always enjoyed contractors who would come in with holes in their pants at the right spots, or they come in commando, showing off the head of their cock. Hello. Always a good time for jeweling and great for fantasies.
Nice.
Where is this job? Like, how?
I think you're talking like a Lowe's or a Home Depot kind of store, and then I've seen it before where the guys either have little underwear on or they don't have any at all, and then, you know, they wear their, you know, jeans till they wear out or what have you, and there's the occasional hole here and there, and depending on what they're doing, it doesn't really matter, you know.
Right.
It's going to get dirty anyway, and depending on what they're doing, and whatever. Why just keep on wearing it till
basically
you can't wear them anymore?
He doesn't have a problem with the guy having something peek out.
Yeah, right. Not at all.
So, same episode, Tony Cubs says, in general, the uniform is what it portrays in a guy. I have seen some blue collar and white collar, which are both awesome. Blue collar just tends to be a bit snug, while white collar can be made tailored to be even more so. So I think he's referring to, like, the uniform look of, like, you know, jobs as far as, like, suits and things. And then Jeremiah Adams said blue collar. And Pugsley said, oh, yes, an average guy in military uniform is much more likely to get my gay. So I was like, okay, it's all agreeable. It was feedback that all kind of came in after we'd already recorded the show. And then COL 431, the OTR for amusement park, Cisco had commented. He said, I'll definitely watch later. We're celebrating our wedding anniversary. So hugs for all the Cubs. So happy belated anniversary to Cisco and his hubby.
Awesome.
And then Chester was explaining to him, he's like, we had some technical difficulties with the sound. Did we ever? Holy shit.
Good God.
But he eventually got it ironed out. And then he said, no wonder I started watching but couldn't hear anything. And then we started brunching.
Nice.
I was highly amused by the, yeah, we couldn't hear anything. We started brunching. It was kind of like, I interpreted that as like, bye girl, like, we can't hear you. We're just going to go eat and drink.
Yeah. We're done. Bye. We'll see you in a minute.
Yeah. So that was our feedback there. Chester, what happened over in the Twitter and Tumblr lands?
On Twitter, we have a message from G-Bear Trekker. It says, at Cubs Out Loud, the Twitter link at Woods Campground is indeed where Bear 3D City was filmed. I was there Sunday. They showed it by the pool.
Oh.
Sweet. And on Tumblr, we have... Oh, we also have one Tumblr follower.
Twitter.
Vale_... Did I say Tumblr? I meant
you
Twitter.
You did say Tumblr.
one Twitter follower, Vale_Adami. And over on the Tumblr, we have two new followers, MedHatK9Pup and Bitchy Blizzard Student Gay.
That is a name.
That is a name.
That is a name.
That is a say something name.
That's what that is.
Hmm. Wonder if he likes Blizzard games.
Maybe he does. Or maybe he's a student at Blizzard University. I don't know if there's an national. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway. Moving right along.
Yeah. Not to say much to say. So, it's that time of year again, as I said. It's that time of year for the Billboard Summer Movies review of 2017. This case, we will have a embedded on our YouTube channel, as well as better than this post, we'll have a playlist of all the songs we're talking about. We also have a Spotify playlist and an iTunes playlist. So if you have Apple Music, you can access that as well. So
good gravy. We got playlists coming out the yin yang.
Hey, just giving access to everybody. So, So should we start with number one? I'm sorry, you were gonna say something.
All I was gonna say is we would consider going backwards up to number one, but it's okay.
You need to define that beforehand, honey.
I know. I copy-paste the list off the frickin' website. It's in that numerical order. I didn't think about reversing it or flipping it or whatever it is we need to do.
My orders on all the playlists are in this order, so we're going in playlist order.
That's fine. That's fine.
It's Luis Fonsi and Danny Yankee featuring the Biebs.
Don't like it.
You are on mute, Damon.
I said, let's not call him that again, meaning the Biebs. So
that's okay. I have a new name for it, but that comes later in the list. Wait.
Okay. So, God damn it. So, I'm okay with the song. I think it's one of the ones, especially one on the list, that has been overplayed. Like, I hear it all the time. And my only problem, unfortunately, with it is I don't know what it's all saying. You know, it's very much like, I get that it's Spanish, and I get that, and I know there's some English in the song, but, like, I didn't know until today, while looking up the song, that Despacito means so slowly. I'm like, okay, now it kind of makes sense. But hearing it for the past, what, 6 fucking 7 months that it's been out, I've never really looked it up. Because,
You're a lyrical person. You like...
I'm a very lyrical person, song, yes. Right? Yeah. And then my question, I have two things, because I was reviewing stuff. One question is, why is Justin Bieber singing Spanish? And then I did note a little bit of trivia. This is the first song primarily in Spanish to top the Billboard Hot 100 since the Macarena. In 1996. Yay. Okay.
No. No. Some things not need to be asked. Moving on.
I have a different perspective on this song. You know, I while I did kind of wish I could understand the lyrics, I was still grooving to it, man. I think it's more... The lyrics were more musical to me. Like, part of the actual music. So it's almost... You could say it's almost instrumental in the way I felt it. So I think the reason why it's probably one of those top songs is not necessarily that everybody can understand all the words. And maybe some people were... also got a little bit interest into the Spanish side of things and trying to learn what the actual lyrics meant in English. Or there's a lot of Latinos who were like understood every single thing anyways in the first place. But I think it's more kind of that groove. The downside to all of this is I swear I've heard this like by some guy who used to be in like a boy like young boy band. I think it was called Menudo, and I think he then got popular. And I think his name was like Ricky Martin. So it's very reminiscent of Ricky Martin-ish. So I think we're kind of doing one of those cyclical sort of things. So I mean, Living La Vida Loca was very popular too, and there was a bunch of Spanish in that. Though I think he primarily spoke. Saying so I can understand why this is. I still felt like there wasn't anything new and interesting, but if it's on, I'm still going to be like swaying side to side and be like, yeah, let's get down with this. So I kind of give it that half thumbs up. Like, the thumb isn't completely up, but it's not just suicide, it's kind of like in the middle.
At a 45 degree angle.
Yeah.
It's interesting you talked about the Ricky Martin thing. I'm like, it made me think of La Isla Bonita by Madonna. In terms of that, like, kind of like, you know, beat and that kind of stuff. But I agree, like, the fact that it's in Spanish, like, it did not compel me to go learn Spanish. It also, at the same time, I was like, I don't know what they're saying. So for all I know, you know, they could be calling my mother, you know, a whore. I don't know. Well, no, I think I'd know those words, but. Yeah, it's. It's okay. It's, you know, I don't know what else to say about it. Like, it doesn't rock my world. It doesn't move me. Yeah, but it's also not making me cringe.
Yeah. Number two.
Wait, want to switch the things? Well, one of our past favorites is back. Bruno Mars from one of my favorites. I think it was all of our favorites. Uptown Funk, way back in the day. It's back with "That's What I Like," kind of more of a groovy thing. Unfortunately, I swear I've heard this song before.
It's very reminiscent to a lot of his songs. Like, it's a very classic Bruno Mars vibe and tone and, you know, vocal to it. It's catchy. I get why it's number two. I personally like the video, which you can see on our playlist. I like the kind of throwback-ish to like 80s and like drawing and kind of going with it. It was really just him in a room, and I'm assuming with green screen and all that stuff, but it was not bad. I agree with you, Jeff, that I feel like I've heard it before, but it only because I think it reminds me of a lot of Bruno Mars's stuff. So if I hear Bruno Mars, I've heard this kind of song before. I've kind of gotten the same feel from a song before.
Yeah, they all kind of sound the same from Bruno Mars.
Yeah.
So I understand what you're saying.
Some of them can be very fast, some of them can be very slow, but you kind of still kind of have that, which, you know, is okay if that's kind of the brand you're going with, but... And yeah, when you hear one, you hear them all.
Any other thoughts, Chester?
No, I mean, it's an okay song. I don't mind listening to it. It's not my favorite.
Yeah.
I don't need to listen to it.
I think that's the key. I agree with you. I I do not object to it. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't make me cringe. It also doesn't make me want to dance. I'm just like, oh, all right.
That's not a dancey song.
It doesn't even make me want to slow dance. Like, what it does for me, if anything, is I'm like, oh, that probably would make a good playlist for, like, a date night. Or, you know what I mean? Like, if I'm going to make dinner, you know, for my, you know, my person that I have interest in, whether I'm married or whatever, you know what I mean? It's like, I just want to kind of set the mood. That's more what that song evokes. Otherwise, yeah.
All right.
Wow, that was a quick one.
Yeah.
We got two in a row by the same guy who I don't think ever sings.
No, he does.
Talk.
Oh, you have a good point. Well, DJ Khaled is a rapper, so yeah.
He's hot. Watching don't run out of time now. I'm the one, yeah. Will, will. I'm the one, will, will. I'm the only one, will, will. I'm the one, will, will. So, this is also a return of Justin Bieber, because I'm not calling him the Biebs anymore, apparently.
Oh, God.
So here's the thing with these, like, what is with this, like, everybody has to, like, always have a featuring. Like, I remember back in the day, it was a Michael Jackson album, and maybe you'd have one duet song with someone famous. Something, but then I keep seeing these albums where it's like so and so featuring so and so. It's like every other track, if not all of the tracks. But can somebody explain that?
It has to do with rights of the music. It just did rights of the music.
Yeah, and with DJ Khaled, as we've kind of stomped on, is he doesn't sing or honestly rap. I'm just going to put that out there.
He sounds more like he's a DJ and like Paul Oakenfold. Maybe not that technical.
His Wikipedia says he's a record producer, radio personality, DJ, record label executive, and author. It does not mention that he is a rapper or performer. Just putting that out there. So for DJ Khaled, go ahead.
Just like, what the hell's his name? The one everybody always makes fun of on like Saturday Night Live.
Are you talking like Kanye West or
no
Combs or
no?
Okay,
the DJ. I'll find it in a second.
Okay, he's producing, quote unquote, the song. He is not really performing in it. So in order for him to make the song, he has to have other performers to actually perform said song. Hence this song that has like 20 fucking people performing the song.
Yeah, but it's not just him. There's other people, but it just kind of brought it up because the next two songs are both him featuring so-and-so, but I kind of understood it from the perspective of this artist, for lack of a better word.
He's like, call it? He's just like David Guetta.
There you go.
Instead of David Guetta doing electronic music and focusing artists to do electronic music, having artists come on and do vocals for, DJ Khaled does urban music, rap, R&B, that style, hip hop, and it has people come on. There's really no difference between David Guetta and DJ Khaled.
Well, we also have basically, besides these two, we have three other songs on this list where it's so-and-so featuring so-and-so.
Right, and I think that's, Jeff, when you started pointing that out, I was like, yeah, half this top 10 list, quote-unquote, of summer songs, half of them, 50%, are all featuring other people. And I think that's more what you were saying is, what gives about that? Like, and I hear that, yeah, it's a rights thing and stuff. I'm just like, I think for me, I'm kind of like, oh, like, I'm all for collab. Like, y'all want to collaborate? Y'all want to get together and have fun?
I'm not an issue of the
saying so-and-so featuring so-and-so. I'm just saying it's like it's all these collaborations going on. So, yeah, you would definitely, if you're going to do some sort of collaboration, you would feature somebody. But why not just do an album where it's just you or your group and not necessarily have collabs all the time?
Okay. So. Anyways, but if DJ Khalid released an album, it would just be nothing but music.
DJ Khalid. Or Khalid is how it's pronounced. He actually says it in the song. But it's not about him. It's just in general, with other people, and I find it constantly in the hip hop scene. So, but in this case, we have four. We have Justin Bieber, Quavo, Chance the Rapper, and Lil Wayne all on this. So it's like this long list of people. It kind of makes sense for him. For other people, anyways, it just kind of just a side comment. So it's not specifically regarding DJ Khaled. And while he is hot, I'm not necessarily that much of a fan of his music.
Yeah, I pretty much wrote down like he's cute. That's about all I like. The song is very. It's kind of tired. Like it just. I don't.
Right. So here's the thing.
He's got a great personality. That's all. He's got a great personality.
Speaking of personality, yours was just on camera. So
it's underwear. It's fine.
What?
Did you forget that your cam is on? Anyways, forgot what I was gonna say. So. No, so anyways, this particular song, like, yeah, it doesn't really make a good impression. The video is kind of wacky and weird. And then I don't know why Drew confirmed it for me because he was watching the video a little bit last night. So Justin Bieber's in the video. And in some of the clips of the video, it's obvious that Justin Bieber just got his hair cut and had his hair bleached, like to look like, you know, that kind of towhead kind of like blonde color. But what kills me about it is every time he comes on screen, the first time I was like, Eminem? Eminem again. Why is Eminem in this video? And every time I'm like, no, it's Justin Bieber. Oh, that's Justin Bieber. Oh, that's just what the fuck, dude. Like,
that's funny.
You're like a spitting image of Eminem, and it's actually kind of bothersome to me. But so here's my challenge to everybody: if you really want to like see something warped about this, go back and watch the video again without sound, and now pay attention to DJ and Justin, and think about them being in a relationship together as a chaser or a hunter and a bigger boy. Because that's what happened when I first started watching it. All of a sudden, I was like, oh, this video would mean something completely different if you thought the two of them were a couple or fucking. But anyway.
I would love to see a parody video of with like Tom Goss and the... Bieber a part of it, and like I don't know, Tony Banks is DJ Khaled and
God
or something like that. Just,
oh God,
I approve of this idea. I don't know if they're gonna do it, but it would be, you know,
and the woman on the horse with the really bouncy big boobs would be replaced by some other chubby, guy. I really felt this was very misogynist, too.
Well, welcome to rap videos.
Yeah, so... But anyway, so I'm telling you, you rewatch the video, you get a whole different take if you turn the sound off, and you think of it more like in porn, like a pre-Brown Chicken Brown Cow movie. yeah.
Wow.
That's how I had to get through the video.
It was also ad for Beats in your headphones, because it was clearly... The Beats logo on his buds. It was just right in the center when he put his earbuds. Earbuds there.
Product placement.
Well, and that's not the only product placement.
You should buy a lot of Beats headphones.
And if you're gonna drink, you should drink Ciroc, because that was in two different videos. I think it's in this one and it's in a different one. And I was like, really, people, really. But anyways,
all right, number four.
Wow, 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 thoughts. Wow, wow, wow. When I'm with you, all I get is wild thoughts. Wow, wow, wow. When I'm with you, all I get is wild thoughts.
It
that's the female version with the last song.
No, it's not. It's terrible. No, I don't like this. Because, okay. So, I rattle also. I hate that they're
kind of like Rihanna. I'll just say that right now.
I do like Rihanna. I hate that they ripped the Maria Santana guitar riff, because that was the first thing when I was listening to it. Like, I listen to the radio at night before I go to bed. It plays overnight, and every once in a while I'll catch songs either in the morning or at night. And this is one of the ones, like, later at night I heard for the first time, and I was like, why are they playing Maria? Like, it's been 10 years or something. So, no, it's not Maria. It's this crappy song. So it is a weird song, and it's a weird video, and I just don't get it. I thought, like, she was saying, wow, thoughts. We need to do some enunciation lessons for Miss Rihanna, because I'm like, what is a wow thought? What is a wow thought? And
David, I'm right there with you. I told this to Drew. I was like, I like Rihanna for the most part. I'll get to something about her in a moment in the video. But, like, I agree with you. The first thing I was like, what is she? And then when I realized, oh, she has the lyric that is the song title. And, like, this isn't I realize this is going to come across as, like, really ignorant. There's nothing wrong with her voice tone, her diction, her accent, but that's what ends up creating this thing that I found it difficult to know what she was saying, because the L in the D in Wild was not coming out at all. It's like she was dropping it as she was saying it and singing it, basically. So I was like, oh.
Yeah.
But I will say this. I told Drew this yesterday because we were traveling, we were in the car, and so I was telling him about this list, and it's funny because he went to the top, like, 100 of Billboard. So he's running through the list. I'm like, nope, that song's not on the list. That song's not on the list. And he's like, so we finally get him the right list. He's running through it. I told him, I said, you have to watch the video. I don't know what it is, but Rihanna is fucking sexy, like crazy sexy in this video. Girl ain't wearing no panties. She ain't wearing no bra. Nope. And she got the body to get away with it. Like, and I am not a connoisseur of the female form. Like, I can think it's beautiful. And in this case, I'm like, holy shit. Like, if there was any woman in the world that I might, this is probably it. Like, she was oozing sex in such a crazy way in the video. I was like, holy cats. And total sidebar, has some fucking killer boots. If you pay attention, I said you stole them motherfuckers from a drag queen. I don't know where.
And you brought your heterosexually back around. You went from, I'm gay, I'm going to fuck this woman. Nope, I like the boots too much.
Did you see what I'm talking about, though? They're like clear acrylic strap, and they have like this stoning, like, diamond pattern comes up to the knee, but they fit perfectly. Like, they're not, you know, she doesn't have like fat, like, you know, cottage, like, muffin top leg going on or anything. Like, I was just like, whoa. I was like, that's, I don't know. So, yeah.
Go ahead.
The music video, like, I thought was really good. And I'm glad you mentioned about the Santana thing, because that's the first thing I said to Drew. Is I was like, it makes me think. And he goes, yeah. He's like, because that's them. Like, you know, that's the guitar piece or whatever. So, yeah. It's otherwise, if I hadn't watched the video, I'd be like, okay, yeah. I don't know. It's another one I'd probably put in my playlist of, like, you know, mood music.
Yeah. Mood for the brown chicken brown cow. Wow.
That's Chester, before we move on.
I don't like it. There's only like two songs on this whole list that I actually like.
And this is go ahead.
Quick, Jeffrey's quick poll for all you listeners and watchers of the show. How many of you guys think that we're just old fogies complaining about new music?
So I said this to Drew yesterday. I said, I started to feel like maybe the four of us are going to show our age on this one, because I feel like every year when we do this, we get more and more in the camp of, what the fuck is this? What is happening to music? And I said, maybe people half my age really do like these songs from the summer. because, you know, that's why they're on the list. They're not, and we had to talk about this briefly, he and I. These are not songs, because he said, well, these songs don't make me think of summer. And I was like, no. They're not songs for summer. They are the top songs during the summer season, like ranked popularity-wise. I said, that's kind of a weird thing. But anyway.
Yeah.
We're getting old.
Go ahead, Chester.
My problem with a good portion of these songs is I just don't like the music. I'm doing specific air quotes to that because there's no creative thought put into it. It is, hey, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to, and I don't even know what the machine is called, but it's basically, it looks like a computer keyboard with about 16 buttons on there. And each button produces a specific sound, and it's somebody tapping a couple buttons, and then they're recording it, and then they're looping it back, and then they do it for 4 minutes. Boom, you got yourself a song. There's no creative thought put behind it. And that's my problem with the majority of these songs. Is that the people that are making the songs, they're doing it because they want to make money. They're not doing it because they have a creative talent and want people to appreciate that talent.
It's funny that you say it that way, Chester, because I did say to Drew yesterday, some of these songs make me think of that meme. And he clarified it because I couldn't remember which it was. I said it was Bohemian Rhapsody versus, like, I don't know, Taylor Swift or Katy Perry or something. And he said
it was Beyonce's Single Ladies.
Right. And he said he thought it was Beyonce's Who Runs the World versus, like, Van Halen or something. But the whole point is the same. You end up with a lot of lyrics, like, written out, and they're different. And, like, hardly are the words ever repeat. And then you have the other column, and for the Beyonce Who Runs the World, all you see is Who Runs the World, girls, Who Runs the World, girls. Like, and it just, like, repeats and repeats and repeats. And the point of that meme is to say, is this what music's become? Like, you know, that it's on repeat or loop or whatever. And it's not all music, but that's kind of what I think, Chester, you're trying to say. Is like, you know, there's a lot
I
of...
I totally get what you're saying when you're bringing up that meme of Who Runs the World with Beyonce. Not all of her songs are like that. I think I just lost internet.
No, you're still with us.
Oh, it just went really quiet. obviously, not all of her songs are like that. Because if you go back to, what was it, 2 years ago? When Lemonade came out, holy fuck, that entire album from start to finish is a creative masterpiece. Every single song is thought out and produced in a manner of creative thought and thinking, and there's power and soul behind every single moment. And then we get the shit of the music that's on this list.
Speaking of this list,
while I understand why you picked that song, it's not endemic to Beyonce herself. It's just that particular song that you're referring to.
Right. And as I say, I want to clarify. I'm not trying to like beat up on this B. Yeah, it's not about the artists. I think the artists can be really good. I think what you're saying, Chester, is that the machine of the music industry.
Correct.
Is not being creative enough. Like, there's a reason why people like Lady Gaga, Madonna, you know, even Kesha, like, people really kind of like what they put out there because, when I listen to the song, like, I kind of get a story. And
it's relatable.
Yeah.
They're connecting with the music. There's something that's making the person like that music, whereas this is just the same four beats over and over and over again.
Wow.
And it's just pushed out there and shoved down our throats just to simply make money.
And if we know anything about Chester, he's really picky about what gets shoved down his throat.
This is correct.
True.
All to move on to five.
Yeah. That body on me. I'm coming now, follow my lead. I'm coming now, follow my lead. Mm-hmm. I'm in love with the shape of you. We push and pull like a magnet do. Although my heart is falling too. I'm in love. So this was one of the few songs on this list that I actually like. And I don't know, I can't give a reason why. I got that it's kind of catchy. I really like this song. I like what they're saying in it. I like the, I love the video. Like, I like the premise behind the video.
I think you might like this song for a similar reason why I liked the Despacito. Is, in this case, the main difference, I mean, besides, you know, lyrics and actual music. I think the difference between these two songs is the fact that it's all in English.
It's funny that you mention that, because when I was listening to this song, I'm like, I can tolerate this song, but it sounds almost similar to number three on this list. It's just that same... just the same beats over and over again.
It's very light, music light, but it has a beat.
Yeah.
Notice I said a beat?
Yeah, I mean, it's... I don't know. It's sort of... it is repetitive. It's light. I don't know how else to say this. The thing that was my biggest takeaway, honestly, because I watched the music video, is I was highly impressed with the message that comes through the video. Ed Sheeran, who I did not know who the hell this boy was until he had a special on NBC where they like did a documentary type thing behind the scenes of a concert. He was back home, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, Chester. He's from the UK.
Yeah.
And so I was like,
Scottish.
Right. Well, and he's a redhead, you know, light skin complected. So to me, I was just like, who's this white boy with red hair?
And he was on Game of Thrones and people lost their fucking minds over it. It was so dumb.
Right. So like he's in the music video and he's talking about, you know, the shape of you, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, he's talking about a girl and then a girl appears and I went, well, oh, not only is she pretty, she's beautiful. She's like pear shaped. You know, she's hippie and she's a woman of color. And I was like, yay. Like, and I told Drew, I said, the reason I'm pointing this out is because, no offense, if she had been another white girl, I probably wouldn't have paid no attention. I would have been like, eh. It wouldn't have stood out to me as impressive or of importance. That's just me. Because then I told him, I said, now it makes me wonder, not that I'll ever meet him or it's any of my damn business. I'll be like, Is that what you like? Because I think that's cool. You know, it's like, oh, all right, then you go, boy. So I don't know. Like, I there's a part of me that's like, I wonder if there's a behind the scenes, you know, or explanation of like if there was really some serious thought into that. Or I doubt very highly she's his real girlfriend. I don't even know if he's dating anybody. But I like the visual, so to speak, of that piece.
Kind of a message. It's like he likes the shape of you. Whatever you are, I like that shape.
That's what I liked about it.
Of kind of saying it, it's like who cares about the color, whether you're pear shaped or V shaped. I don't know
what
other shapes are. Apple shaped. I don't know. You know, I just like you as you are, in whatever shape or color or form you are.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Nice little message.
Number six. From heartache, from the pain, taking my message from the veins, speaking my lesson from the brain, seeing the beauty through the... Hey, bring me up, you bring me up, believer, believer.
I like this song. I also feel like it's very similar to Radioactive. But maybe that's just the singing style of Imagine Dragons. But the video was kind of interesting. That's like
training. I agree. I said I told Drew, this is my interpretation from what I recall seeing it like once. My impression was that he was fighting an older version of himself. That they were both boxers. I was like, wow, this is like very visually stimulating. But I regret I wasn't fully paying attention because I was making stuff for the podcast and doing things. So I was like trying to watch and listen. And the point of this list is songs, not necessarily that you have to watch the music video, but I like to because visual speaks to me more. So.
Yeah. I like it. But I agree with you, Jeff, that it kind of reminds me of other songs of theirs. It's just it's not bad. It's just, here's another Imagine Dragons song. I knew who it was, kind of, before
maybe it's just a stylistic thing, because it doesn't feel like I've heard this before necessarily, but it reminds me of stuff I've heard before.
Yeah. It's very, reminiscent.
It's a song that I would listen to, not actively, like if it came onto the radio, I would listen to it. It's similar to the one earlier that I said. It's, I don't necessarily like this kind of music. It's not something that I choose to listen to, but I, can listen to it without any problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Not bad.
Notice so far it seems like most of the songs, if not all of them, are really chill, more balladish sort of thing than they are like super dancey music. Maybe the Spacito is a little more dancey, but
yeah, but I'm pretty sure the next one's gonna change that up.
Well, don't know, I know. It's levels to it, you and I know. Bitch, be humble. Hold up, bitch, sit down.
Next. No, sorry. No, seriously, but like, oh my god.
So moving on.
No, we should move on. We should talk about this.
No, Damon.
Kind of. Maybe.
I agree.
At least a little bit.
Really?
Oh my god.
Okay.
What the fuck?
Hang on. The two of you are on the same page. Chester?
Out of every song on here, this is my favorite. And I've listened to this song on repeat for months. Like, this is the type of music that I listen to on the regular.
And okay. there is the face crack of the show. If I was asked what Chester's favorite song on this 10 list is, it wasn't going to be this one.
Yeah, same.
How much I don't know about you.
One of the biggest reasons why I like the song is because to me, when I listen to it, it's almost like a throwback to late 90s, early 2000s music. You know, like Missy Elliott and Aaliyah, that type of style of music. In hip hop, and that's the kind of music that I enjoy the most. One of the other things that I really like about this song is the way that he actually rhymes, and the flow of his voice when he's singing his lyrics.
Puts me to sleep.
Okay. Is it because you don't understand the words?
No, I understand the words, but they're so monotonous.
Are you sure you understand the words?
And I'm like, switch to garbage. Because that's something interesting.
I think it's going to be, I appreciate and value Chester's opinion. And it's because, I'm a little surprised that this was your favorite. But on the same token, I get what you're saying. Like, I'll put it like this. I don't think it was, for me, the song that necessarily bothered me as much as the video.
I didn't watch any of the videos of these. I don't really care about the videos.
Yeah, but that's the only way I can – I usually – like, I'm like Gary. I like a little visual along with my music. And some of these I have heard before, but this one I hadn't heard before. So I kind of listen and listen, watch the video, and it just wasn't working for me. And I can't put my finger on why it didn't work. Maybe it was that I wasn't really paying attention to the lyrics, and the video just had this very odd, like, visual tone to it that didn't make sense to me. And all of that kind of disconnected into this, to me, what the fuckery. So, again, and also I'm not the biggest fan of rap music. So that's one of my, that's the other thing. So that, on top of that, on top of the video, and then it didn't grab me. So,
well, I think the problem for me wasn't necessarily like the contextual part of the lyrics and necessarily how, but it was kind of like, it was really the tone of the entire thing. It was the constant same monotonous thing. Like you were talking about earlier, where you didn't like how people would just like pop a sequence into a drum machine and loop it for the entire thing. That's exactly what this was when it was. Probably what made it more enjoyable for you was the lyrics or something, but it really, all it was like the same it was the same thing over and over again. There was nothing interesting that could, I mean, the reason why I would say it goes to sleep, because it's like one of those like repetitive musical things that just kind of like soothes and would put you to sleep in that case. And the way he was, like, the tone in how he was rapping, there was very little variation on his speech. Like, it was all the same pattern through the whole thing, and it was at the constant same rate, and everything was very monotonous and mechanical. It didn't give me an impact or give me an interest. It didn't really draw me in. Like, I didn't really care about the lyrics, because it was just like, are you trying to hypnotize me or something? It was just boring, and as I said, would put me to sleep just because it's so monotonous.
And see, I have a completely different view of that, because I think the lyrics that are being sung in that song are incredibly thought out. There is a method to the words that he's saying and the order that he's saying them. There's intelligence behind it.
Oh yeah, totally.
And you're,
if you're actually listening to what the lyrics are actually saying, like if you saw a sheet where what the lyrics were, it's fine. It's not about the actual lyrics themselves. It's the application of how he did it, more than what the actual lyrics were. Because I can understand that. Like, I think he talks about something about, like I don't want to see, like, that perfect booty, a little bit of strip marks are just fine. And that's not the exact words, but intent.
Yeah. All right. Is that everything? Is that everyone?
I will say this. For me personally, it wasn't, I don't know, it didn't really draw me in. Although what I found intriguing was that it's a instruction song. So correct me if I'm wrong, Chester, but his point of view is he's trying to point out that, I mean, the song called Humble. The whole point is like, you should be grateful for what you have. Don't take things for granted and don't be like a bitch about it, basically. Right. So, but yeah, I was like, okay. Like it's that for me, just, that's it. Just break all your shit, Gary.
There's even a lyric in the song where he's saying that he wants to see an ass with stretch marks, because that's what makes that person real. And that's what he wants to see from somebody, is their real self, not somebody that's been Instagram filtered. So throughout that whole song, that's the type of message that's going on to it. And that's what is very intriguing to me about the song, and why I think the lyrics are so intelligent when you listen to them
and you think about what he's saying.
So that may be, essentially, I think for this song, maybe take a second listen if you want to, and kind of really kind of focus on
like
the
three times. And it's like, can I skip this?
I get that, Jeff, but I'm thinking for me personally, I may have to give it another listen because I caught some of those things, but I lost them because I wasn't feeling what was going on. So maybe if I actually take some time, maybe have the, if I can find the lyrics and actually read them and listen to the song at the same time, maybe I'll kind of get a better understanding for it. We'll see. Okay.
Moving on?
Sure. Sure.
Ride with me, boss. I got a hard head, but her ass off. She wants the last name with the ring on it. Cause I pulled out a million cash, told her plank on it.
Crickets?
Wow.
Okay, for you, it feels like crickets, but on our end, I think Chester, Damon, and I all hear this weird, like, kind of black hole sound when the music stops playing, and we don't know quite what that is, so.
Well, I'm just like, I don't know what to say about this, so.
No. Like, I think that literally, Jeff, when you go back and listen to the audio, you might catch what we're talking about. There's a weird, like, like sound or something.
Sound
when the music gets done after the fade and it goes out. But anyways, this one for me, trying to do the clip was difficult because as much as we bitched about all the repetition, it took me forever to find the title in the lyric spoken. I was like, holy cow, he finally said it. Because that was the goal, was to make a little like snippet with the title in it, because that to me made sense. So
wow. So this is another one I've never heard before, so I don't know why it's on the list personally. But again, I don't listen to pop top 40s radio all the time. By that token, I don't really truly care about the song, but I know you didn't watch the video, Chester, but I really like this video because they went to Uganda, and the video kind of gives this like, it's like the people of Uganda performing for them and doing like dances, and you've got younger kids and you've got some teenagers and adults kind of doing stuff for it. And I kind of like that vibe of it, but until the end kind of threw everything, gave me a total fucking 360, but not 360, whatever. Anyway, it just was very, the song, I don't know if the song is necessarily repetitive or what have you, but it didn't grab me at all. Like, of the songs on this list, this one is the one that I didn't get it. I don't get why it's popular. I don't get why it's on this list. This is the one song that I don't get. I didn't get. That's just me, but I could be wrong.
It's similar to 3, 5, and 6 on this list for me. It's something I can have on in the background, and I don't mind listening to it. It's not something I would actively search out to listen to, though.
Understandable.
I don't hate it.
I totally forgot that song, so.
I hate what I hate is that the song is called Unforgettable, because I'm like, no, it is.
It's unforgettable.
No. It is forgettable for me. I'm like, I could probably go the rest of my life without hearing it, and that's okay. Just not my cup of tea. So,
what song are we talking about again?
Number 9.
No curves like her in them downtown streets. Body like a back road, driving with my eyes closed. I know every curve like the back of my hand.
doing 15 in.
Okay. I like this song. And it's one of those reminiscences, like, I've heard this type of song before. And it was different on different lyrics and everything. And it was kind of like that kind of cruising down the road thing. What I don't understand was, I swear I was watching the video and all it was a shot of a road with the two center lines, but the camera wasn't moving.
I think you just gave the audio. The video you picked was just the audio. I don't know if there is an actual video for this song.
Okay.
To my knowledge, there is not an official released music video.
Oh, okay.
There's only a lyric. Right. There's only a lyric video, which is what we got basically. Or no, it's called the audio video, I think is what it's called.
Yeah.
And it's just a still of an asphalt road and the song plays. And I was like, this is the official. Like, it's kind of weird.
This would be totally good for like a road trip video.
I found it.
Did find a video?
Mm-hmm. I believe.
It looks like that's supposed to be the lyric video.
Yeah,
it actually says there, lyric video.
What the fuck? Anyway.
It's on Vivo, if anything.
Yeah. Like, anyway.
Yeah, I think they're just like taking shots of things and showing the lyrics.
Yeah. Anyhow, I thought it was whatever. Anyway.
Good try. Good try.
I tried.
Applaud your effort.
I tried. Lord knows I tried. Sorry. I don't like this song. I actually wrote, I hate this song. I don't get it.
The song, or is it that it's country?
No, okay. It's the song.
This is classic back road driving in my truck country.
Yeah.
And that's not a judgment. It's just, that's what I think of. Like,
with the lyrics.
Well, yeah, there's that. Thank you, Captain Obvious.
You said it.
No, but I mean, but take out the lyrics. I have like kind of this guitar thing, you know, and
it's
like
a standard country song.
Yeah. So
cookie cutter country. Cutter country.
Cookie cutter modern country.
Yeah. Anyway, I just don't like it, and I can't. I don't think it's because it's country, because I like some country music. I think it's just because I don't like it.
Like, okay. I just can't. Some things don't resonate with each other. Yeah. As we found out, like, some of us are exact polar opposites on certain songs.
My jaw dropped when we were talking about Humble and Chester liking that. Hey, I was like, what? Really? You did?
Yeah. But yeah, it's just, anyway. Teach your own. It was cute. I get why it's catchy. I get why it's popular. You know, I get it, but I don't.
You hate this
like
song.
Like it. Yeah, I don't like this song.
Do you Chester not like that song, or do you hate this song?
Hate is a very strong word, but I did say hate. And I would say hate.
It's okay. You could own hating it. It's not the end of the world.
Anyway, Chester?
It's okay.
It doesn't make you want to boot scoot. It doesn't make you want to like take Evan out in the middle of the country outside Columbus and do naughty things.
No. out of country, this is the kind of country that I do like listening to, because it is modern. It's pop country.
Yeah,
I guess that's what you call it. But yeah, I don't really care for the song itself. I don't hate it like Damon does. It's just not something that I would want to listen to. It's okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it when it first came on, and then when I started listening to the lyrics, I was like, they're very pedestrian for the lyrics. But so is the song in general. So
yep.
It fits.
Pedestrian bullshit. Oh my god. Anyway. Yeah. All right. I think we're ready for the last one.
Strange, ever since we was on, I dreamed it all. Ever since I was young, they said I won't be nothing. Now they always say congratulations. Worked so hard, forgot how to vacation.
Wow.
What the hell was that?
What was that?
That was a snore.
Oh. Anyway. Anywho, would anyone else like to offer an opinion? Because we obviously know Jeff's.
My opinion is the same of most of the stuff. It's just...
This is definitely bad hip-hop. Or some people would like to call say about it. It's good hip-hop. But to me, it's bad hip-hop.
Womp womp.
Here's kind of the thing I feel about this. This is where I think it gets difficult because it reminds me of art or photography. Anything creative. Everybody has a right to make something. There's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. There's also an audience for everything that's out there. It's kind of like kink. Some people are into piss play. Some people are not. So that's where I struggle because I listen to the song and I go, it's wishy-washy for me. Your singy-songy is annoying. It's like whining nonstop.
Yeah.
It's drawn out. Your diction's not very good. Like, and then I'm like, God, I'm being so critical. Like, and it just has to come down to not for me.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I feel about it. It just is very much not for me. I don't like it. I kind of get the message, maybe, you know, but I just, it's just too, it's of the songs that are repetitive, this is one of the bigger ones for me. And on top of that, it just doesn't feel like I don't get anything out of it. I get that it's kind of self-serving. And I don't get why, again, I don't get why it's on the top 10. Granted, it's 10th, but I don't get why it's top 10.
And that is where the beauty of a democracy comes into play. Because apparently there are people out there that like it.
A lot of people that like it because it's 10th place.
Yeah.
We technically had a 20 or it was 100 list normally, isn't it?
Well, right. There's the top 100 of Billboard right now. And then taking just the summer songs, when you go to visit the webpage, it lists 20. And I had literally copied the whole list. And that's when Chester had said in our chat, pull the curtain back. I think it was Friday night. Chester was like, are we listening to all 20 songs? I was like, no, we don't really listen to 10. And obviously I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
So.
You're fine. Everything's fine.
No. Now I had to look at the top 20 and see who was number 11 and go from, like... Okay.
Just more of the same. And actually, I think earlier, like, later on this list is the Something Just Like This by Chainsmokers and Coldplay. I think that was higher on the list. It was actually probably in one of our categories at one point in time, but this was as of whenever
9/5.
Yeah, just a couple days ago. So,
all right. Anywho,
are we done talking about music?
Yeah, because I think
let me get to the porn.
Can we? Yeah. Okay. That? Fine. Let's do this. But drool.
Huh.
You didn't put drool in the title.
No, it is on my it is on the post.
That is a nice ass.
Damn. Yeah,
very nice ass. He's got thick
some
thighs.
Nice thighs.
You know who he reminds me of?
Hmm?
Who does he remind you of?
Mr. Raymond
Smith.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah.
I can see that.
Exactly what I was thinking when I was looking this. You know, put him in some red hair, that would be Ray.
Probably or some belly. He's probably more of a muscle guy than anything, but.
Yeah, he also reminds me of Tank.
Yeah, I can see that.
So, yeah.
I wish I had an ass like that.
It's okay. We love you just the way you are.
So here's the thing about a guy like this. I can objectify it. I can look at it. I can fap to it. I can think it's sexy as hell. But then there's a part of me that's like, yeah, but if he was in bed next to me, would I be annoyed by how hard his body is?
Like, I feel like he has that padding along all the muscle.
I don't know if he has enough padding.
Not a lot. Yeah.
Marbling have a lot.
Like, for me, I'm kind of like, I like soft and squishy. Like, I like firmness with soft and squishy. So that's where I'm kind of like, I don't know.
Tester, I like that.
I guess I got to test.
Marbling? Yes, I love that.
What? That?
That's usually how I describe guys that I like, because I don't really care for guys that are just generally fat. I like there to be bulkiness. And have fat over top of it.
So be like strong, like a steak, like with the marbling.
Yes. Like ribeye. I want it to be marbling.
That's the same thing. That is not the same thing. And Chester, I think you know this. Marbling is fat within the muscle. Fat around muscle is not marbling. That's fat. That's all it is. It is a layer of fat, and then there is muscle. So they're two different things. You can have them together. You can have fat fat in between the muscle that's marbling with a whole bunch of fat around it. But
so I did have a look and see. I had to close up his to see what his tats say. There's the no pain, no gain on his arms, and then it says, I believe, adapt and overcome across his back.
Mm.
So interesting. So yeah, good picture. Great ass.
Front has a nice beard.
Is anyone gonna
just like I like it? I would totally fuck him and like.
What'd you say
with him?
Was anyone gonna copy paste these links over into the live chat so Drew?
Do we have live?
Yeah, Drew's in there.
Is there anybody watching live? Yeah. Oh, but yeah, I'll grab it in a second.
I just did this one. Okay. But you can grab the rest of them because I'm about to call.
Sorry, my chat must not be updating because it. Doesn't say anybody's in there.
Okay. So are we moving on?
Yep.
So, Banana Boxers RIP, meaning Banana Boxers rest in peace, but Banana Boxers RIP. So you've got, this is from Cinnabull, and he says, you know, rest in peace my Banana Boxers from Target, but at least I got one last use out of them. So, yeah, and you can see clearly the underwear have been ripped, have been ripping, as you can look, but also you can see his butt and balls coming out through him.
Holy it's mother of Burgatroyd.
Nice angle?
Yep.
That ass, though.
It's a nice, beautiful bloom. Yep. It's a nice, beautiful bloom. I love boxers. It's a bloom of the because it's coming out of the not the bloom of the Carrie. I see you judging me.
You said it. You used the word. I was like, not a good reference. Just
sorry.
It is a really great reveal of a beautiful butt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything probably about him is beautiful. You know, it's just yeah. It is clearly an invitation for something.
Yes. Clearly.
And all I keep thinking is I hope that he was not alone when this moment happened.
For his sake.
For my imaginary happiness.
So if I look at his, he has his profile and his pictures. He takes a lot of pictures of his butt. Like a lot. I mean, I'm not.
If you had that butt, wouldn't you?
Oh, I love it. Just if you had that butt, wouldn't you?
So yeah,
that cracks up to no end.
Yeah, but it's a good. He's got a great picture. He's mm-hmm. and he's cute. Like there's another picture of him in. Him in the suspenders and what have you. So I have another picture, so you can kind of see a little bit more of him. He's definitely a cutie.
Nice.
Okay. Moving on to Chester.
Mine is Mr. Raymond Smith.
Hey.
He had a trip to Baltimore a couple weeks ago, sometime ago.
I think it was.
I'm curious where this is taken.
Recently, yeah.
Yeah, it was like a week ago. I'm curious where this is taken because I don't know where he was staying when he was there, but it looks like it would be at like a friend's house or something. But it's just him naked reading a book, which looks like it's a manual of some sort.
So he posted.
Go ahead, Darren.
Oh, well, he posted it on his picture on his Facebook. He's actually at a he used Airbnb. So he's probably at someone's home.
I wonder how they feel about his cats being all up on their chairs.
Well, they probably don't know.
Yeah. Although, to be fair, it's really just his hip that's on the chair, not his naked ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking that's probably a very uncomfortable position. I mean, there's a point to how he's positioning himself, but...
Yeah.
I don't think that's something he would actually stay there and read in that position.
It's a very tasteful nude.
The book that he's reading is a manual. It's something for work. Because in the Facebook thread, someone asked him what he was reading or makes a comment, and then he named it. It's a diagnostic or I don't know something.
Yeah,
super, which is funny because I was gonna make fun of it and say it was like the engine schematics for a 1972 Volkswagen Beetle.
Nice. Like I said, it's a really good picture. Like I really, really like the shot. And yes, Ray is handsome and sexy, and we pretty much had three asses on this in this Tumblr feed so far. But I really like the feel of the picture. Like I'm just sitting here. Picture. Yeah.
But Ray rarely ever takes a bad picture.
Gary?
Well, to go with all those bottoms on display, mine is called, and I've got the joystick right here, which is Booka Please, who I haven't seen anything out of Booka in a while, at least I don't think I have, but this just cracked me up to no end. I love that he's wearing just a t-shirt, and it says I, and then it has like a, I think it's an older Nintendo style console handheld piece, and then it says games, so it's meant to be like, you know, I love games or games, play games, whichever. But he notably is grabbing his dick, which is fully erect underneath the shirt, so you don't see it, but you see it, you know.
Yeah.
And it sort of looks like there's a big Pac-Man something or other on the wall behind him, kind of as a drawer or stuff. So yeah, it's quite obviously that he's a gamer, and he's beautiful to look at. So I'm like,
yeah,
I'd play with him. So
I didn't want to play with him.
Well, I mean, that game right there, I got no problem. I'll handle the joystick. You know, it's fine by me.
And he's got some nice balls there, too. I kind of look at the... Yeah. It's a good shot. And... He's very handsome, and yeah, it's really good.
Very nice.
Very, very, very nice. All right.
Moving on into our link statement, what do you got?
So, given the Ed Sheeran Shape of You song we just saw. I remember when the song came out that Walk Off the Earth did a cover of it. And I really like this because they kind of use, like, not really household implements, but they make a music video. They make the instruments of the music via these common objects, like tubes and what have you. And they're singing the lyrics, obviously. But it's a really good song. And the favorite part is about 3 minutes in. So definitely go watch this. It's fun. It's funny. There's a child, and yeah, there's just a it's really, really well done, and I really like that they kind of made a really good cover of it. So yeah,
you know, I'll have to listen to that later.
Yeah, it's better to listen. We can't listen to it right now, obviously, but yeah, just you'll see about 3 minutes in, there's a really fun moment. I don't want to spoil it, so. All right. Chester?
So mine is to an Instagram account. I actually picked this up off of Chris Hauser. I saw this posted on his Facebook. It's a link to an Instagram account called Square Bears. And the creator draws images on post-it notes that are inspired by gay life in New York City and are very bear-centric.
And he's freaking hot.
Yes, he's incredibly adorable.
Yeah.
I don't really know what to call this because I actually have to reach out to him and ask him, you know, what are these called? Because I don't want to say it's a webcomic because it's not really a comic strip. But usually within them, you know, some of them are just pieces of art that he's drawn. Some of them are a comic where there is a little bit of a storyline. And a lot of them are quite funny when you really read them. Like there's this one that I'm seeing that says, what color are you? And it just says, I'm a bear. There's no color. I'm a bear. And it's really cute. I really appreciate it.
So maybe what we should do is bring his intersectionist on. Yeah, have him on the show. And then,
you know what? Maybe we should do that.
That sounds like a great idea.
I'm all for it.
Somebody should reach out.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure there's a lot of people who want to reach out and touch him. But we should also try to have him on the show. Just saying. Reach out. You know. No, because I'm really intrigued. Like, I don't think I've ever seen or heard of him before, which is a little odd given the amount of individuals I know that are into, like, you know, drawing and art and animation-y type stuff. And, like, yeah, so I'm like, oh, this is pretty interesting. It reminds me of something from years ago, but I don't think it was him, where someone was drawing stuff on their commute to work every day.
Mm-hmm. And they were leaving them in, like, the bus?
No, they were, well, maybe, but they weren't like, it's not the one where they're putting people in a surreal environment. It was just that they were literally sketching the people around them, like on the subway train.
Oh, okay. That's train. Not what I was thinking about at all.
Yeah, but I mean, it was like, but it was all done on post-it notes. That's the thing that stands out to me is that he does a lot of yellow post-it note. Like, that's hence, I think, where the square comes from, just a guess. But I'm like, oh, I'm like, this is reminiscent of that, but it's not necessarily the same style. And I am just like scrolling and scrolling through his Instagram backwards. And I'm like, no, like, I'm not really recognizing any of it. But it's interesting because it's he kind of goes back and forth between a couple of things. Oh, he did an image of Jonathan Bardzik at one point. That's interesting. Jonathan Bardzik's a culinary guy out of DC that's written, I think, 2 or 3 cookbooks now. And he has spoken at Hibernation. He's done some cooking demos there.
I kind of know who he is. He's actually a very handsome looking guy. Imagine that, a big handsome bear who knows how to eat and cook the food.
I don't want to try and get off topic here, but this drawing on Post-it notes is kind of a, I don't want to say it's a fad. That's not what I mean, but it's somewhat new in the sense of it allows people to get their imagery out in a confined space. Mm-hmm. And they have to be very selective about what it is that they're drawing, because you only get that 3-inch by 3-inch square, and you have to fill your entire idea in that space. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, people that are doing this, they have a commitment to themselves, like, I'm going to do one image a day. Earlier when you said that it reminded you of somebody else, what it reminded me of was there is a blog that I came across. Somebody does something very similar, draws their art on Post-it notes, and they travel quite a bit. And what they were doing is they would make their drawing, and it would be kind of like an inspirational type of drawing. Like, think of an inspirational cat, and the cat saying, "You're perfect," and has like two thumbs up. So it's very simple. But he would take them, put them on the back of the seat in front of him on an airplane, and then close the service tray. So that on the next flight, who was ever on that next flight opened up the service tray, and there was the image. And I believe the guy put a hashtag that, you know, if you find this image, please use this hashtag. This way people would, you know, upload the picture and then get it out there.
Hmm. Interesting. I'm going through and putting him on my Instagram, not that I'm ever on Instagram, so just letting y'all know, in case people are like, oh, I gotta go follow up. No, I don't think I've posted a single thing yet, and I don't know how often I get on. But it appears to be his only medium for posting the images. But what's also interesting to me is this reminds me of Twitter. Like, when Twitter first started, it became a challenge. People were trying to figure out how, like, in 140 characters or less to get your thought out. And to me, this is the sort of a visual version of that. Like, you have a confined space. That's all you have to work with. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like a one-shot deal. So I think it's interesting.
Nice.
Neat.
Yeah,
all right. I have, like, the uber kid slash nerdy Nocturnal Emission video. So... for those of you that have somehow missed this and are not aware, Lego has released the Ultimate Collector Series 2017 version of the Millennium Falcon. I believe it is 7,500 pieces approximately. It costs, I think, roughly $800. It is a huge series commitment, and the guys over at Tested, which Adam Savage, formerly of Mythbusters, it's his grouping in that, and they recorded them putting one together in 2 days. Like, well, technically a day and a half. I think it was like 16, 18 hours, something like that. But they had a huge crew. There was like 8 to 10 people constantly working, and they speed up the image and stuff for the video. So it's like about 13 minutes. Yeah, it's pretty cool to watch them kind of work on it, put it together. But it's neat. And then they talk about it. They compare it to the previous model and the differences and stuff like that. So if you're into Lego, you're into Star Wars, you're into like the mega kits and all that kind of thing, it's pretty awesome. I believe they said it is the biggest to date ever publicly released.
Wow.
Yeah.
The biggest kit ever released?
I believe so. So, but yeah. Go ahead.
I have a Star Destroyer, but I don't remember how big it was. Fuck, that was a pain in the ass to put together. And it's heavy as fuck. It's seriously like 50 pounds.
What I think is interesting is a whole bunch of these guys that work together at Tested, I think Norm got one, Adam got one, one of the guys that's his that they put together as the first initial one. I think like four or five of them maybe have ordered one. Now, understandably, Adam, being who he is, like, would probably it's an obvious that he would get it. But what cracks me up is, like, they kind of all pitched in for the video for Tested, and I'm kind of wondering, like, but are they all going to keep pitching into helping each other? Because they think they've set a world record in the fastest amount of time to put together that, like, that many pieces for a legitimate kit. But notably, it wasn't just one person. Like, Adam said he spent, I think, a whole day of 8 hours doing nothing but sorting pieces.
Yeah.
Like, that was his role out of the whole team of things. He was putting all the matching pieces together, like, or whatever. I don't know. I was just like, wow. It's kind of mind-boggling, but also pretty cool. So that's why I put it in there. I was like, check that out.
Well, it's basically a three-dimensional puzzle at that point.
Oh, yeah. Well, and you have to watch the video alone for when they open the box. Adam talks about how big the box is because it's not a conventional Lego box. It's not thin, flat-ish. It's like a big fucking, like, you know, case thing. And then they take the book out, and it's hysterical. It's probably about, I'm going to guess, about 1.5 to 2 inches thick of a bound, like, plastic bound book of instructions telling you how to put the whole thing together, and they drop it on the table with a thud. And I don't know where this comes from, but they call it a chihuahua killer. As in, the book is so heavy, if you dropped it on a little chihuahua dog, it would die.
The paper that's used for the instruction manual is heavy bound paper, and it's color, so it weighs a lot. The instructions, for anyone who hasn't put together a Lego kit recently, they're very much like IKEA. They show you, this is the piece you need, and it goes onto this piece. And then they take that piece that you've just completed, they kind of drop the opacity of it, and then they introduce the new piece. And this is where you put it. And then it keeps on going in that order. And on top of that, when you're looking at it, over here on the side, it says you need 4 of this piece and you need 2 of this piece. So what you can do, oh, and the other thing is they group everything into bags so that I imagine this particular kit has probably 10 bags to it. Like my Star Destroyer, I don't know how many pieces it was, but it was half that price. And it came in like 7 bags. You open up bag 1. That's what you're focusing on, is when that bag is empty, you can move on to bag 2. So it's not like you open everything all at once.
Right. So anyways, it was highly impressive. I had heard that they had released a new one just this like past week or whatever. And so, yeah, it was kind of crazy. And that I think they got one of the very first ones to come off the production line, probably because they reached out. They have a connection with Lego. They know somebody who works there, a couple people, I think. So they might have like gotten like an early case, because I thought there was a reference to when they went on sale. And I think they might now publicly be available to sale, but not for shipping. I don't know which. It was kind of confusing because the video is a couple days old now, I believe. So anyways. But go check it out. It's fun.
Cool. And guess what, folks? That's the end. Aww. Playwaste, contact us. Pop over to our website, cubsoutloud.com. Shoot us an email at cubsoutloud@gmail.com. Leave us a voicemail, sexy or otherwise, at 361-COL-TALK. That's 361-265-8255. You can follow us on Facebook, Tumblr, Twitter, Google+, and YouTube at Cubs Out Loud in the appropriate place in the URL. You can find us on BearUnderground.net, where you can join the Cubs Out Loud Entourage group. You can also join the Facebook COL Entourage group if you would like. You can listen to us on iTunes, rate us there. Listen to us or subscribe to us through Google Play Podcasts. You can give us a thumbs up on Stitcher. You can find me anywhere on the internet as BoxNetBox, PuppyBox, GumBox, something or other.
I am TheaterCub79 on Bear Underground, Growler, Tumblr, and HeftyNet, etc. And you can find me as Pup_Umbra on Twitter.
You can find me on Tumblr or Twitter under the name of The Pup Up There. In record retail shops looking for better music than the shit we talked about today. Various bear dating sites across the net under the name Pup Better Cupcake 76.
Nice.
You can find me pretty much anywhere on the web as Gabber73, or perhaps randomly popping up in some strange bar where there's a competition and bears and leather and pups surrounding me, and then you might hear my voice and turn around and go, are you Gare Bear? yeah.
Nice.
And with that, say goodnight, everybody!
Good night, everyone.
Bye.
Have a good one, y'all.
Yay! So that's the show.
Gary, on your way home, do you want to stop and have coffee? Is that the plan?
Coffee. Wow. Wow.
He missed it, David. He didn't say it. That's okay.
When you said coffee... Gary went like,
okay. He's still not looking at the camera. He's not looking at a video feed. He doesn't know what we're doing.
No, I'm not. I'm looking down at my desk.
So
but I saw the quotes.
Yeah. I guess, you know. Looking back. Anywho.
All right. On my end, it was like a 54-second delay. I just caught the end.
You mean of the podcast?
The live feed, yeah.
Live feed. Got it. Have we stopped?
Not yet, but I hear.
No. I can stop streaming.